you're just horrible today. But that was good, good, fun, clean TV. And questions, Adam West, I thought that I would just ask you a few Batman questions. What is Batman's favorite fruit? Banana, nana, 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 grapefruit. What position did Bruce Wayne play on his baseball team? Bat boy. What does Batman put in his drinks? Just ice. Just ice. Just ice. Okay. What happened when Batman and Robin were run over by a steamroller? Flatman and Ribbon. I could go on, but you would probably crucify me, so I'll stop there. But do you remember watching Batman and the mission was always, what was the mission of Batman? Do you remember? That's right. It was to protect Gotham City from the bad guys. That's what the mission of Batman and Robin was. And we have a mission too as the church. And it was read today in our gospel lesson from Matthew, where Jesus comes and meets the disciples, and he gives them what we call the Great Commission. And the Great Commission has not changed since Jesus was here and gave it to the disciples. Now, some of us carry out that Great Commission in different, various ways, but it all ties into the great mission that Jesus gave the church in Matthew 28. And we're going to take a look at that this morning because the mission hasn't changed, but we as Christ Lutheran Vail Church are a part of that mission, and I want to just talk about it. So we're going to talk about it this morning. And the first one is this, where Jesus says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That is part of the mission of Christ Lutheran Vail Church. The Greek word for disciple is mathete. And it was common use at the time of Jesus because you would have these teachers and they would go around Galilee or wherever and they would have disciples that would follow them. And a disciple is somebody who would live with the teacher, who would follow the teacher, find out what the teacher's doing, and then would emulate what the teacher was doing. And that's how the person went to become a disciple. And then at some point, that person would graduate from being a disciple of that teacher, maybe would go off and become their own teacher. And that was a common practice in the time of Jesus. And so when Jesus uses the word disciple, this Greek word, people knew exactly what they were talking about. So when Jesus says, go make disciples, people had a visual image of what that was supposed to be. It would be somebody who would kind of follow around the church and become like Jesus through the church. Now, what's interesting is that in Acts, we read this morning from Acts, Peter had this great speech, this great oratory, because people were attracted at Pentecost, so they're all around, and Peter gets up and he begins to preach. And it attracts thousands of people. And it says in Acts that there were 3,000 people that became believers that day. They were called believers in Acts 2. And they're called believers in Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5. But then, when you get to Acts 6, they're no longer called believers. They're called disciples. So they went from the process of be kind of believing in the resurrection, believing in the message of Jesus Christ, and then somewhere along the line, around Acts 6, they become disciples. And a disciple is one who is connected to the church, who's learning how to be like Jesus. And then, after a time, these disciples, then they became apostles. And an apostle is somebody who is sent. It's from the Greek word apostello, which means I send or to send. In other words, after you were a believer, you became a disciple, and as you discipled, you matured in your faith, you began to be more and more like Jesus, and then you could become an apostle. Of course, we know about the 12 apostles, but everybody could be part of that continuum. You could be a believer, You could be a disciple, or you could be someone that God calls you to a specific mission or ministry in the world. Now, a lot of people don't like the word disciple because of the word discipline. And people assume that being a disciple of Jesus Christ means that you've got to completely change your life, you've got to be disciplined, you've got to, it's kind of a no fun thing, I guess is what you could say. But when I look at the disciples, when I picture Jesus with his disciples, I picture them as kind of traveling around Galilee together, and he's teaching them things, but they're also doing life together. They're enjoying life. One of my favorite pictures of Jesus is him laughing. I can imagine them sitting around a campfire at the end of a long day and Jesus telling stories and living life together. Being a disciple of Jesus doesn't mean that you're dour. It doesn't mean that you're sad. It doesn't mean that things aren't going well. It means that you're following Jesus, that you're becoming a disciple of Jesus, that you're learning to do the things that Jesus did. That's a disciple. I've not done this yet, but I've got this plan in my head. You all know what a red letter Bible is, right? A red letter Bible is where you go and you mark out all the things that Jesus said. That's a red letter Bible. But a green letter Bible, in my opinion, I've made this up myself, a green letter Bible is where you look at all the things that Jesus did. Because if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, the words that he said are important, but what he did is also important. He prayed. He healed people. He went and spent time alone with God the Father and was filled by God the Father in those moments. There was some solitude. There was prayer. There was healing. All these things that Jesus did. And see, that's the kind of stuff that we should be doing as a church. If we're truly going to be disciples of Jesus, it's not enough just to know what the words are that he spoke, but are we living our life the way that Jesus taught us to live? Are we being his disciples? Now, where are you on this spectrum? Are you a believer? Are you a disciple trying to live your life like Jesus? Or have you been discipled by Jesus that you're now seeing kind of where God is calling you in your life and in your situation to be the voice and of hope for Jesus in the world around us? Is that where you are? Because somewhere along that spectrum, you are. And God is calling you, and he's discipling you. Now, I think the world around us needs more disciples of Jesus. Because the world around us is poisoning us. There are so many people who are angry and bitter and fighting with each other in this world. We need more disciples. We need people who bring the love and the hope and the passion of Jesus into the world around us. I was I watched two videos, but the one I watched that was stuck in my head and I couldn't find it again was a video of somebody ordering in McDonald's. All these things always happen in McDonald's. I don't know why that is. They never happen at Burger King. It's like maybe they got hidden cameras in McDonald's or something like that. I don't know. But this person went in and ordered a chicken sandwich, and the chicken sandwich came out wrong, and I'm not exactly sure how a chicken sandwich can come out wrong. And the person started getting angry at the person around the counter, behind the counter, about this chicken. It's a chicken sandwich. You can make another chicken sandwich. But this person became lividly angry and started beating on the person behind. They picked up the chicken sandwich and threw him. Now, you would think that the friends of this person would go and restrain this person. They stop doing this. This is not how you're supposed to behave in the world. But that's not what they were doing. They were in the background clapping and saying, beat him up, you know, encouraging this terrible behavior to happen. And the person behind the counter was actually severely hurt. Now, maybe it was their fault. Maybe it was the person who was ordering, you know, was justified in being angry. But to take out your aggression like that on another person, that is just wrong. And yet this seems to happen over, and it seems to happen at McDonald's. I don't know why at McDonald's, but for whatever reason, it happens at McDonald's. And I'm sure it happens at Burger King. And I'm sure it happens at Wendy's and all this. But for some reason, the few times I've seen this, it's always been McDonald's. Crazy, I know. I don't even like McDonald's. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, yeah. So, but if you're a disciple of Jesus and you see some bad behavior like this going on, if you truly are filled with God's Spirit and He's living in you and you are connected with God, then your calling in life is to go into any situation, including something like that, and to be a calming factor. And you know what I'm talking about. There are times in your life where you're at the office or at school or wherever you are in life, and people start to build up anger and animosity, and you know that this is kind of come to a boiling point, and you could be a person that could take that situation and throw more gas on the fire. Or you could be a person who follows Jesus Christ and says, now let's wait a minute. Let's just step back. Let's not kill each other and be a calming presence in the world around you. That's what we're called to be. Because without the church around us, I think the world would purge, descend into anarchy. And yet, God calls the church to become disciples, to learn what it's like to become a disciple, to be so filled with God's love and His presence and His peace that no matter where you go, you're a calm, peaceful presence wherever you go. Are you like that? Do you feel like you're like that? So that's the first thing. The first thing is this. Go make disciples. And then the second one is this, where Jesus says, go by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, today is Trinity Sunday, and this is a classic Trinity Sunday text because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You won't find the word Trinity, but you'll find the concepts of the Trinity all throughout the Bible, beginning with our Old Testament lesson, where it shows that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth, or over the face of the deep. And we know from John 1:1 that God was with Jesus at the beginning of creation. So we know the Father, Son, Holy Spirit exist in Scripture. And here's a clear picture of where it exists in Scripture, because Jesus says, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it was right after this time in the first century where the theological underpinnings of this whole thing, where it's, well, if Jesus says, go baptize Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, does that mean that God exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes, He does. He is God. Jesus is God. Now, that is the quintessential question that was answered in the first three centuries of the church, is who is Jesus? Was He just a man who was really, really connected to God, or was He God? And there were a lot of wars, there was a lot of things fought over trying to define who Jesus is. Because if Jesus is simply a nice guy who lived a good life and was really connected to God, then it flows from that that we too should be really nice people and we should connect with God as Jesus did. But if Jesus truly is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, if He's part of the Trinity, if He's one of the Godhead, and God became flesh and dwelt among us and then took all the penalty of sin upon Himself, if God did that for us, then it's a totally different picture. It means that we can't do that. We can't even come close to doing that. The only thing that we can do is to worship Jesus as the Redemptor of all of mankind. And we can't be like Him at all. Jesus is God. He is part of the Godhead. And that's why the Trinity is so important. Because we see that God is in three persons and that Jesus is one of those three people. That's what Scripture teaches. That's what we believe, teach, and confess. And it's what the church has believed and taught and confessed since the very beginning of the church. And there are a lot of religions out there that don't like the word Trinity because they just don't understand it. They don't understand how Jesus could also be God. But if Jesus isn't God, it completely changes the theology of the whole entire world. And it changes the theology of the church. The Trinity is the number one theology that's coming out of the first century that we have to believe that Jesus is God. So, we talked about go make disciples. We talked about how Jesus is part of the Trinity by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we have the last part, which is teaching them to obey. Teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And we don't talk a lot about obedience as much as we should, because obedience can turn into works righteousness, and that's always a scary thing. It's not our righteousness, it's God's righteousness for us. But that doesn't mean we're off the hook when it comes to obedience. God calls us to be obedient to Him. He calls us to learn how to live a life that He lived. He calls us to be disciples. He calls us to emulate the life of Jesus, and we are to be obedient to do that. If you look in the Bible, obedience is all throughout the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, we need to learn how to be like Jesus. We need to learn how to be obedient. You see, sin is like a poison. It's corrupting this world around us. And the only cure for sin is to train people on how to live like Jesus, to become obedient, to learn how to live in the little things so when the big things happen, we can be obedient to God. And all that brings joy. All that brings joy. You know, there's two ways to live your life. There's a way to live your life that the world thinks you should live, which is it's all about power, it's all about resources, it's all about who you can be. And I'm not saying that stuff is important, but in the economy of God, the way God looks at things, more important is the Spirit in you. Are you loving as Jesus did? The things that God is concerned about more than anything else is your spiritual condition. Are you like Jesus? That's what we're called to do. This congregation is called to create people who are like Jesus. Now, over the last 3 months, the staff has been working together to kind of refine the mission and the vision of Christ in the Vale Church, and now we're ready to deploy this. And my prayer is that all of you will at some point see what it is that this church is all about, how we are responding to God's mission statement. We're going to have this leadership, this dinner on Saturday, this lunch. I keep saying dinner, it's not. It's lunch, and then followed by some presentations. It's going to be highly informative, highly exciting. You don't want to miss it. If you want to go, make sure you sign up and go, because it's a free lunch and some exciting discussion and presentation. But even if you can't make it on Saturday, try to find it somehow so that you can see what this church is about. Because this church is part of the Great Commission. This church is part about making disciples. As we would say, making loving disciples. Being the hands and feet of Jesus in the world around us. That's what God has called us to be. And I pray that God fills us with His Spirit, the second person of the Trinity, to have the power to be able to do that. So, we're called to be disciples. We're called to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're called to be obedient to God. You feel called to do those things. So next week, we're actually going to start into a different sermon series. I had planned on doing some stuff about Luther. We're going to take a look at Luther's favorite book. It's the book of Galatians. We're going to spend the summer going through the book of Galatians. It should be very, very exciting. You don't want to miss it. And so I want to leave you this. Next week, same bat time. Same bat channel. All right. In Jesus' name, amen.